Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramal. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Ain't nothing much, man. Just glad to do the show with you, as always, and glad to be in the presence of the listeners every week. So thank you, Mac, for coming on as always.
Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, the NBA draft lottery, MLB, what's going on with the Mets and the Knicks. I'm rather Mets and the Yankees. Knicks as well, of course, talking about the NBA draft. And talk about WWE and this, in my opinion, about Vince McMahon's genius wild card plan he debuted this past Monday Night Raw. But most importantly, you guys, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. Let's dive into it. But before we get into that, I just want to wish all the mothers out there, a very happy and blessed, Mother's Day in advance, since tomorrow is going to be Mother's Day in less than an hour from now. So happy Mother's Day. I hope you all enjoy, this special day. So thank you.
Happy Mother's Day.
But with that said, man, let's talk about the playoffs. And man, it's a really exciting playoffs. And obviously, the Lakers aren't in it, but they did announce that they hired Frank Vogel as their new head coach. And they were obviously. Going to this season after they signed LeBron James, they thought, they'd be back to their winning ways, but that hasn't been the case for them. And, LeBron James is being rumored to be even on the move, as surprising as that is. But we're going to get back to that rumor after we get into the playoffs talks. And Durant, he got injured game five, but even though the Rockets had the lead for most of the game, in game six, the Warriors showed why the Warriors come out to play. Steph Curry, he scored 33 points all in the second half. His splash brother, Klay Thompson, scored 27 points. And, like they said before game six, they feel like they played the best without Durant. Well, at least they were implying that. So this was vintage Warriors prior to them signing the back-to-back MVP. NBA Finals MVP in Durant. So this was vintage Warriors. Warriors bounced back. Curry was clutch as always. And the Rockets, man, they just can't get over the hump. The hump, man. Harden, he had 35 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and of course, Chris Paul had 27 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. But, Clint Capela had 10 and 10. But, the Warriors, man. You can't stop the Warriors, man. You got to be on your A-plus game to stop the Warriors. And, you know, basically the Warriors in this series, Warriors was the first road team to win, you know, win a game in this series. And as a result, the Warriors advance again to another Western Conference Finals, and they defeated the Rockets 4 out of 5 times. So, you know, what can you say? The Rockets, it looks like Chris Paul is going to end up without a ring at this point, because each year it's getting tougher and tougher. You know, what's your thoughts on this series?
Well, people act like the Warriors never won a championship without KD. Once KD went out there saying, oh, Warriors are going to lose, Rockets are going to eliminate them. But these people forget that Warriors already won a championship without Kevin Durant. So,
and it was like 73-9 that the season just before they signed them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nothing new to them, you know. So I picked the Warriors to still win the series, even though they lost KD. So I'm not shocked that Warriors won that game. I mean, you know, they've been doing it the last 4 years. So why is everybody surprised, you know?
Yeah. And the game he got hurt, they still won that game anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, like, come on. Like I said, this was
two of the best shooters
vintage
in the
Warrior.
NBA. Yeah.
Vintage Warrior game from a few years ago prior to, you know, KD taking his talents to Golden State, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, kudos to the Warriors. You know, they showed their complete team. You know, they could, you know, they could score and play defense with the best of them. And that's why they're still out reigning and defending champions. And until, you know, a team knocked them off, you know, they're going to win it again. You know, I think their biggest threat is would be the Trailblazers. If the Trailblazers advance against the Nuggets, which I think they will.
I think the Nuggets are going to win, and I think Nuggets are going to be more of a threat to the Warriors than the Blazers will. I mean, this dude Jokic, man.
He's no Jokic.
Yeah.
But I used to think
Porzingis was better than him, but I'm wrong. I was wrong.
Yeah, the Nuggets is good, obviously. But I think Trailblazers are going to advance.
Nah, the Nuggets are a better team, man. They're deep. They got Millsap, they got Jokic, they got Murray. That team could ball.
Oh yeah.
And they have home court advantage, so they got that in their favor
for game seven.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely in their favor for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
So either way, it'll be a good series. But you know, I think the Warriors Nuggets. That's gonna be a series. Hey, that's the two teams I've been fighting for 1 and 2 during their season, so it'll be good to see if they face each other again.
Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be an awesome game. I think they're going to play. They're definitely playing tomorrow. They're playing tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 start. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course on the the Eastern Conference side, the 76ers, they're going to be playing the Raptors. The Raptors are going to host the series. They're going to host the Game 7. That game's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is also going to be a very good series as well. And you know, they're gonna face the Bucks, you know, who recently defeated the Celtics, you know, because of the Greek Freak. I think he scored what 33 points the last game.
He faced
the Celtics. Yeah, so that's gonna be I can't front, man. This playoffs this year has been awesome, you know.
Yeah. It's been a great playoffs.
But it's gonna be interesting to see what Kyrie is gonna do in this off season, because now there's rumors he might want to, you know, rejoin LeBron in LA with the Lakers. Obviously, the biggest rumor is that he's gonna team up with KD either with Brooklyn or the Knicks. But but then again, you know, Irving's this is what I'm looking for. His mystique, you know, is taking a shot, you know, him being eliminated and not being able to, you know, stretch this series, make this series a deep series against the Bucks. What's your thoughts on how Irving's potential Celtics career ending like this?
Well, Kyrie, you know, he's never won a playoff series without LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no, he did win the first round matchup
right.
against what was that team? I forget the team that they beat to get to the second round, but you know, he hasn't done much on his teams without LeBron, you know. So it just shows you that, you know, he needs a psychic like LeBron to help him, you know, go to the finals to win the championship like
right.
he had during those Cleveland days.
Yeah, he's much better as the second guy.
Yeah, but he wanted to leave Cleveland and be the guy in Boston, and you know, things haven't turned out well for him. You know, there's been all season long, there's been rumors of, you know, chemistry issues between him and his teammates, rumors of him leaving after the season to go to the Knicks or Nets. So there's been a lot of distractions for him during the season. But, and we're going to have to wait and see, you know, what happens, you know, in the off season. If he does leave the Celtics or if he stays there, you know, I think there's a good chance that he probably stays. You know, I know a lot of Knicks and Nets fans want to see him come here, but I don't know, man. I'll like KD, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, his team beat the Pacers, but you know, you thought they would have put up more of a fight, against the Bucks. I mean, they swept the Pacers, but they went down. If I'm understanding right, they went down in five, didn't they?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was five.
Yeah, they won in five. They beat the Bucks in five. But you know. Actually, they lost the Bucks in five, I should say.
Right.
So yeah, this series would have went to a sixth game at least at the minimum.
Yeah.
And both of them are potent teams, so.
Bucks just dominated them after that game too.
What did you say?
Bucks just dominated them after that game too.
Oh yeah. And you know what's gonna be funny? If Raptors win at home tomorrow, they should have Kawhi Leonard's laugh in the background. That would be funny if they just have it on a loop. Just have it on a loop. as the 76ers, you know, walk back home into the locker room, just hearing that the echoes of that. But the only way they could avoid it is if they, they went on the road out of the country.
Well, that could go either way tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a tough game.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sixers won.
Ouch, yeah. I think 76ers will win. But, you know, obviously Raptors are at home. And they're a tough team as well, so. They could go either way, but I think 76ers could pull it off. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a close game, but.
Yeah.
I think 76ers will advance. Let's shift gears to the draft. And it's Tuesday night, man. Obviously, we pull no punches here, man. We're hoping the Knicks can win the draft lottery. But the odds, you know, well, I can't say it's against them, because they have an equal amount of chances with the Cavs and the Suns with at 14%, but. I mean, we know the Knicks' history. Other than Ewing, they usually don't get the number one pick. And even if they have a better record, like a few years ago, they were supposed to get the second pick, and then they drop all the way down to fourth, and the Lakers leapfrogged them to get the second pick.
Yeah,
I think that was the year they got Porzingis, if I'm certainly right.
Possibly, I think. Yeah, I think you're right.
But, yeah. Yeah, and here comes another rumor, you know, I heard a few days ago. Some people are thinking that the Knicks should use that number one pick to trade for either LeBron or Anthony Davis with the Pelicans. Now my question to you, should the Knicks trade the number one pick? Which is basically Zion Williams. Would you trade Zion Williams, obviously in a package deal, for either LeBron or Anthony Davis?
No, I wouldn't, because, first of all, LeBron is 35 years old. He's not getting any younger. And we saw that with the Lakers, you know, the Lakers didn't have the pieces needed to help LeBron get to the playoffs. And I don't think him on the Knicks is going to help the Knicks go to the finals or even make the playoffs. It'd be just the same thing as what happened in L.A. You know, he come here, miss the playoffs, and then what? And then you're going to have to rebuild again? I mean, it'd be a waste. You know, and he's getting older. He's not getting younger, like I said. So I think we should just keep that number one pick, get Zion, and then you could get two free agents, you know, probably KD or Kyrie, possibly, or someone else, you know, to help this franchise. But I think that bringing LeBron here would kind of, you know, delay things a bit.
I'm with you. Normally, I would love to make a splash move like that. You know, you get a future Hall of Famer, you know, onto the Knicks, and you know, try to change it around. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. One, he's like what, 35 years old. You know, he missed a season. Like, what did he miss? Like the last what? I forgot how many games. Was it 18 games or so? Maybe a little less than that. You know, the rest of the year because of a groin injury. Too, you know, he has a lot of mileage in the playoffs, you know, as a result of his, you know, I think that contributed to his injury, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Two, this guy played the Knicks twice in free agency, including this past offseason. So, I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to, if he wanted to come here, he should have signed here, or at least openly demand the trade that he wants to get traded here. But, yeah, but here's another thing why I wouldn't trade him. Because if you trade him, not only are you giving up Zion Williamson, which obviously, you know, he has a lot of potential to be a star in this league. But, two, you definitely got to give up Mitchell Robinson. And I think he is the guy you cannot give up. I'd be willing to give up Knox, even though I like Knox. I think he has a lot of potential. But – nah, man. Mitchell Robinson is the real deal. You cannot trade this guy. You cannot trade Mitchell Robinson and Zion Williamson if you have the number one pick. So,
yeah
for that, I can't do the deal. But here's another deal. Here's another question. What about if KD went up to you, let's say you're Steve Mills and Scott Perry, and he told you, I'm not going to come here unless if you get LeBron James or Anthony Davis, would you make the trade to trade for one of those guys?
No. I would not. I wouldn't. Sorry.
You wouldn't, right?
No, I wouldn't. Why risk it?
And I don't.
Especially on Anthony Davis, who's injury prone.
Yeah, that's he's definitely injury prone. Another talented dude. He's always injury prone. Well, yeah.
I might
consider it only if Mitchell Robinson's not on the table. But then again, I don't want to give up Zion Williamson. So I think I'd be leaning toward not doing it as well. Even though, you know, both of these guys are phenomenal players. I would just wait until the off season if we can't get Kyrie, which most likely we would if we got Durant, you know. Because Durant is the number one guy that Knicks have to get, you know, this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
If not, then they should just save their money. I mean, Kyrie Irving, he's a great player. I'd love to have him only as a complimentary player. Because, you know, if you have him on this team, he's not gonna win a title with this team. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he could get you to the playoffs. He could get you to the playoffs, but he's gonna be like Westbrook. He's just gonna get you. You're gonna just get knocked out. You know, like in the first round.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And look at Westbrook. Westbrook is a walking triple double. But
that's it.
Irving he'll get you. He'll give you the buzz to sell a playoff ticket, but you're gonna be one and done every single year. But if you have Kyrie Irving as a secondary guy, at the highest, that's a championship caliber team. Especially if you build a good young hungry talented team around them, that's a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get a third star player. But at a cheap amount, like let's say, for example, like a Jimmy Butler type player, obviously he would want superstar money, so that would be a no. Or Kimball Walker on a lesser money. A guy like that would come in much lesser money, and, you know, came in as a third player. That would be a star team. You know, that would be like a championship caliber team. But obviously these guys are going to make – these guys are going to get some owner to give them the money that they want. So – you know, that it is what it is.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Fool me once, LeBron, shame on you. Fool me twice, you're not going to trade for me, so you ain't coming, man. If this guy want to play at the Garden, well, he'll just come for that one game every year with the Lakers, so... best of luck with him, and I'm sure he'll get somebody else to come with him, whether it's Kawhi Leonard, who knows, even in a weird scenario, maybe even Klay Thompson if he leaves, you know, because he's a free agent. So, I mean, who knows? But most important thing, stage one, Nick's got to get this number one pick.
Oh yeah, that's the number one priority.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of number one priorities, the New York Mets, their number one priority is that they gotta score some runs. And to their credit, these past couple of days against the Marlins, yes, I know it's the same lowly Marlins that, you know, your hero, Derek Jeter, is the owner of the team. You know, the Mets have been scoring some runs these past couple of days. They scored, what, 8 runs in the first inning, capped off by a Ahmed Rosario grand slam on Friday night. Alonso and Conforto homered in later innings. And then, Wheeler got the victory there. And then tonight's game, I'm trying to remember, the pitcher, what was his name, Salamander? Salazar? Whatever the Marlins pitcher, he knocked in the first run of the game to give the Marlins a 1-0 lead. But then basically it disappeared. I forgot who knocked in the first run for the Mets. But in any case, I think they scored. No, I don't remember who it was. But in any case, Conforto and Alonso, went back to back in the game, and then of course, DeGrom would knock in an RBI single, and as a result, the Mets would win by the final score of 4-1. And Edwin Diaz, aka Sugar, he got his 10th save of the year. He's 10-for-10 so far this year, but he's looked shaky, especially in non-save situations. But most importantly, he gets the job done. So, kudos to Diaz and DeGrom finally getting back to his winning ways. The Mets pitching has been pitching better lately. And Friday night, Mickey Callaway had a closed-door meeting with, the owner, Jeff Wilpon, and the GM, Brody Van Wagenen, for ways to turn the team around, to improve the offense. And not because his job was in jeopardy, which I wish his job was in jeopardy because he's arguably the worst manager I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen Art Howe manage, so that's saying something. But all in all, the Mets are playing well, and Jeter Lowry, he should be coming off the IL probably after the weekend. He hit a home run on Friday night. He went 3-for-4 on Friday night. Robinson Cano earlier this week, he knocked in his 2,500 career hit. So congratulations to him. And trying to think what else. Alonso, man, he's just been crushing it, man. This guy, man, I think him and Conforto hit home runs in back-to-back games. And I think Alonso, only one or two home runs that Alonso hit out of the 12 has been in the seventh inning or later against a reliever. But he's been phenomenal. It's either him or what's the name of that guy? I forgot his name. Potterack? I forgot the name of the guy, but he was he had beef with Alonso earlier this week. And he every time he struck out Alonso, he was getting amped up. Alonso was basically telling him, was saying after the game that, he didn't like what the guy was saying. Like, he thought the guy was jealous of him, and that if the guy wanted to win, Rookie of the Month, as Alonso did, he has 5 other months to do it. And then Alonso also said that he's not worried. He's not winning the Rookie of the Year would be awesome, but he's more concerned about winning a championship. And then the next day, he hit a home, what proved to be the game winner, which snapped the Mets, 4-game losing streak against the Padres. But they lost that series, and then they've been playing this series with the Padres. No, not the Padres, the Marlins. And hopefully tomorrow they'll be able to sweep that series. But they haven't, I don't think they've swept the series at all this year, because I think they're like 0-4 or 0-5 with the third game, whether it's a rubber game or going for the sweep, they just keep losing. So we'll see what happened there tomorrow. And on the Yankees, the Yankees have been playing well lately, but they did lose today. What's your thoughts on how the Yankees are playing lately?
They've been playing real well despite all the injuries. They've managed to stay within the half game entering today behind the Tampa Bay Rays. They had that big one last night, but today they lost 7-2. Couldn't score runs, and Yandy, what is the dude's name for Tampa? Yandy Diaz, I think his name is. He had 4 RBIs. And he homered twice, so he pretty much led the Tampa Bay Rays to the big win today. And Right now, the Rays are about a game and a half ahead of the Yankees for the division. So hopefully the Yankees could win this series tomorrow in Tampa. But, you know, despite that, the Yankees, they've been playing well with all the guys from the minors and replacements. You know, you got Cameron Maybin in there, you know, playing well. Gio Urshela, you know, guys who, you know, you wouldn't have thought would be on the Yankees. You know, all of a sudden they're helping us win games. And, you know, they're helping us, you know, stay in this division race until some of these other guys like Aaron Judge and Stanton come back. So, you know, right now, Yankees, they've been playing well and looking good so far. You know, hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the Yankees, man, they, for the most part, you know, DJ LeMay, who, you know, your
my cousin
DJ name. Yeah. Your cousin. He's doing his thing, and you know, like you said, Gio Urshela, man, he's been clutch as well. You know.
Oh yeah, and he's great defensively.
Mhm. So they're definitely holding down the fort. You know, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Are, you know, they're this close from taking the division. So, you know, in any case, you know, they got a deep minor league system, and if they wanna improve their pitching, they could always sign Kimbrel and or Keuchel, you know, right after the June 5 draft, MLB draft. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Yankees there.
Yeah.
But shifting gears, WWE. You know, the big news is that Vince McMahon came up with a genius idea, and this is the wild card. I mean, which is basically, you know, a select few people can appear on, you know, different shows, you know, whether it's Raw or SmackDown. And basically, I just think, to be honest with you, I think this is Vince McMahon's most dumbest idea since a chairs match, because you know what I'm saying. Like, the only way this wild card rule would make sense is if, kind of like what they did a long time ago, when The Rock was the undisputed champion. Like, what was this on 02? When you were the undisputed champion, or if you're a champion, that should give you the power or the right to go on any show you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of it being like a popularity contest, or whoever, you know, pats Vince on the back the most gets to, you know, go on any show they want. I mean, I just think it's a dumb idea. There's no rhyme or reason to this this idea. The rumor is the reason why he came up with this idea is because you know, Fox and maybe even NBC wants, you know, the stars to be, you know, the big stars to come on, you know, both shows, because, you know, basically they still have the brand split. So this was the loophole or the wild card to allow stars from, you know, either show to appear on both shows. So, I mean, this, that's basically the reason why we're having this, wild card. Do you remember who even won these wild card stuff?
Wow. No, I can't.
Raw was a blur. I'm pretty sure probably Baron Corbin won, because basically WWE keeps forcing him down our throats, no matter how horrible he is.
Yeah.
He's the top heel in WWE, if you want to think about it. Or he's the top heel on Monday Night Raw, because he's in every promo, because WWE, you know, loves the fact that we're booing him. So they're like, they're booing him. So let's just shove him down the throat, you know? So it's like, I mean, come on. We're not booing because he's a bad guy. We're booing because he absolutely stinks. This is why I think we should stop booing Baron Corbin. Because WWE doesn't have the ideology. They have the ideology of, hey, as long as the fans are making noise, whether you're cheering or booing the person, it's a good thing. But what they fail to realize, there's a difference between booing a guy like Daniel Bryan, who's obviously a phenomenal wrestler and a phenomenal, you know, promo guy, who basically, you know, if he's a good guy, he'll make you chant yes, yes, yes. And if he's a bad guy, he'll make you chant no, no, no on you know, on his whim. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between a bad guy like, you know, Daniel Bryan or Kevin Owens or Seth Rollins when he's a bad guy, and Baron Corbin, who's a guy who I can't even name one good thing he does.
Nothing.
The dude don't have no mic skills. He don't have no in-ring ability. I'll give him credit for his signature moves, the deep six or the what's the other one? The what's his finishing move again? The end of days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it fits his character, you know. But other than that, he doesn't bring anything to the table. I don't see the point of him, you know, being he's a glorified jobber, but he just keeps getting these opportunities upon opportunities. I'm tired of seeing him fight Baron Corbin. I'm tired of seeing him in championship matches that, you know, by the grace of God, he keeps losing these opportunities. But
yeah, shouldn't
sure
even
enough,
be in those matches.
Sure enough, man, this guy's bound to win a title. This guy's bound to win a Universal or a WWE title. It's happening. And let me here's another thing, folks. Jinder Mahal is going to be a champion again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say this. I'm sorry to bust on the
You think so?
Level. Yes. And let me tell you why. Look how Jinder Mahal looked at the earlier this year or at the end of last year. Look at him now. He looked exactly how he looked during his championship run. And how do I know this? Because remember, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, they had the whole superstar shakeup. And then out of nowhere, he pops up. He's a surprise person who moved back to SmackDown. And he's not doing the whole Shotty, you know, gimmick of, you know, him, you know, acting like he's like some guru, you know, trying to calm people down. He's back to his modern-day Maharaja character. The character that made him win the championship.
Yeah, fair.
So, I mean, look at him closely. Next time you see him, you'll see what I'm talking about. And he's going to be the next guy to defeat Kofi Kingston. I hate to say this, but it's going to happen. And you know why they're doing this? Because Vince McMahon, you know, he didn't want to put the title on Kofi to begin with. And they know if Roman Reigns outright beats Kofi Kingston, we're going to book Roman Reigns out of the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Roman Reigns hasn't been this popular since the Shield originally was there, before the Shield broke up the first time.
Right.
So if he beats Kofi Kingston, while this is Kofi Kingston's moment, they're going to boo Roman Reigns out of the building. So what they're going to do, they're going to have Jinder Mahal shockingly beat Kofi Kingston, and then Roman Reigns will beat him. And because Roman Reigns takes the title off of Jinder Mahal, we're going to be like, whoo, thank God. Woo, Roman Reigns. This is what they want. And that's why, you know, Jinder Mahal and Baron Corbin will be, unfortunately, champions probably by the end of this year. I hope I'm wrong, but WWE
no,
loves to see us.
Could be accurate on that. Could be right on point with that.
We're gonna have to save this. We're gonna have to save this footage. I hope I'm wrong, but knowing WWE, they just love to screw with their fans. So,
oh yeah,
fan tells me I'm. This is gonna be. This is gonna come to fruition. But oh yeah, and one last thing, the Bray Wyatt, he had his another edition of his Firefly. What's it called? Firefly Funhouse. And in that episode, they revealed Mercy the Buzzard, basically destroyed the you know, the Rambling Rabbit. And basically he's teasing that he's gonna reveal a subliminal message that he put in 8 of his promos that he did 4 years ago. You know, when he was feuding with Orton, I believe.
Mm.
And this is supposed to reveal a secret message that people online are trying to decipher. So apparently he's going to reveal what the secret message is that he put in 8 of his promos that he had consecutively, you know, 8 consecutive promos he had a subliminal message, but put all together reveals a secret message that he's going to reveal apparently this coming Monday on Raw. So that should be interesting. What's your thoughts on this whole Firefly Funhouse thing he's doing?
Well, I'm still trying to, you know, still trying to figure out if this is going to be a permanent character, you know, or if this is some type of twist on the Bray Wyatt character. Maybe he's playing with us. Maybe this is just something, this sick, demented way. Play on his character. I don't know. I'm still trying to see which way WWE goes with this character. I mean, if they're gonna just have him do his old character and have him do this Firefly gimmick on the side, you know, I don't know which way they're going with this. You know, I'm still waiting it out to see where it goes. You know, and I'm kind of confused a little bit too, because, you know, I hear rumors that, you know, it's not really going to be his, this is just a shtick. It's not going to be his permanent character. You know, and then I hear other people say that this is his new character. And, you know, I don't know. Right now, I don't know. I'm a little bit confused and frustrated at times with this.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah, it could be WWE, you know, messing with us like they did with I'm trying to remember who it was. Who's that character again? With Emelina, when they were teasing us for months that she was gonna debut as a new character, or even Brodus Clay. They were debuting him as this menacing guy, and then, you know, we got his you know, somebody call my mama gimmick.
Yeah.
But you got anything you'd like to say quickly?
I'll just check out my show iMac on Saturdays at 10. Only a box up for you.
All right. You heard the guy. Check out his show, iMac. And check out my show, Sports Hidden Legend, every Saturdays at 11. And check out my YouTube show, Sports Hidden Legend TV. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Namo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.